This book, I really, if I had the time, I would like to read it at least 10 times until I can absorb something should stick in my thick head. This book, it's called The Great Zman Debate. It relates very, very well to this week's parasha, because Vayifka b'makom v'yolen b'layla ha'hu. Yaakov Avinu was misakin tzilas mayriv. And when was he misakin? I don't think we have a minyan. Do we have a minyan for mincha? I don't think we have a minyan for mincha today. Okay, so v'yolen b'layla, Yaakov Avinu, he was misakin tzilas mayriv. When was he misakin tilas ma'ariv? When it got dark. Halacha l'maisa, when do we daven ma'ariv? It's not so simple. That this machlokes between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda. When is the earliest man when you can daven ma'ariv? Is it plag mincha, or is it after tseis ha'koy chavim? Okay, tseis. We generally with the principle that kriya shma. When do you say kriya shma? Kriya shma is said. When you lie down, first mission in Shas, there's a lot of details, a lot of very nuanced and critical pieces of the Talmud and the Mishnah and the Rishonim to get down to the exact sources, to trace everything, cross every T, dot every I, in order to get precision. When is the zman for kriya shma shel arvis? When is the zman to daven ma'ariv? All that is not what I prepared for today. I'm starting already at a later stage in this topic of discussion. We halacha lemaisa need to know, after all the dust settles, we accept that there's something called a zaman called tseis hakoy chavim, when the stars come out, which means three, the way it's defined in Shulchan Aruch, three medium stars. That is when the day begins. That's called night. That's called laila. Vayi erev, that's called erev. And because Yaakov was misakin tefilas ma'ariv, at least according to the Chachamim, that would appear to be the ideal time to daven ma'ariv, when it's erev, when it's tseis ha'koy chavim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can daven ma'ariv lechatchila after plagim. Okay, I'm aware of that. Then there's kriya shma certainly is, the Mishnah says, halacha l'maisa, when three medium stars come out. As an extension of this, when is Shabbos over? When does Shabbos begin? Shabbos is over Sunday. When is Sunday? Tseis ha'koy chavim, three medium stars. Now this is very nogi halacha l'maisa, especially when it comes to bris milah. The baby is born Friday night. Let's say 35 minutes after sunset here in New York City. When will the bris milah of this baby take place? What? Sunday? Why Sunday, Mr. Marillas? 35 minutes is not already the beginning of Shabbos? Oh, because you're not sure that it's Shabbos. So let's say the baby is born 72 minutes after sunset Friday night. When will the bris milah be? No question about Shabbos. Let's say the baby is born 60 minutes after sunset Friday night. When will the bris milah be? Shabbos. Let's say the baby is born 50 minutes. Oh, we're getting to who turns to yes. Let's say the baby is born 50 minutes after sunset Friday night. I think 98% of the poskim will tell you Shabbos. Shabbos. I believe that to be correct. Let's say you get 49 minutes, 48 minutes, 47 minutes, 35 minutes. I don't know what the answer is, but my...
I had one of my grandchildren. Yeah. There were 8 minutes before there was a... We asked the boiler. He said that we made it a Sunday Christmas.
How much? What is the exact moment of when baby was born? The heads,
he
the paper.
It was about 4 minutes before you would have to say it was Yom Kippur. It was on
after Shkia. Tell me the numbers and after Shkia.
Yeah.
So it's how many minutes after sunset? How many minutes?
Exactly the minute, but they said you had like 4 or 5 minutes to go before they would have to make the bris on Shabbos.
Shabbos. So he was too early. It was still Ben Ashmoshes, yeah. Suffolk. Okay.
Well, officially it was, but I thought for sure it would be a Shabbos Bris.
It depends who you ask. It depends. First of all, there's a very big issue today. Whenever a person comes to a rabbi to ask this question, I had a baby born. The baby was born. They tell you a number. At what time? How do you know the baby was born then? Who says? That's what they wrote down on the chart. That means nothing, chart. You better get witnesses. There are cameras. There are cameras today in the room, as far as I know, in the rooms. Who says the cameras, the clock is set correctly? Who says the clock is set correctly? There's a lot of election fraud where the cameras are not even set correctly to the time. Okay, the first thing today in practical rabbinics is if a person comes to rabbi and says the baby was born at this time, and it comes out that it's X number of minutes after sunset, the first thing the rabbi is supposed to be taught is don't trust anyone. How do you know the baby was born at that moment in time? Who? How do you know? Were you there? We had a watch. Is your watch set correctly? Was there a clock in the room that was set correctly? Did the nurse tell you, oh, I wrote that on the chart this time? That's you. The first thing to know is to authenticate the Zman when the baby's head emerged from the womb. This is the Erste Sach. And unfortunately, many times, Esther Abadim, that cannot be determined. They cannot be determined because in my first baby, I was so excited. I don't really know. I wasn't paying attention to the clock.
The doctor and nurse may be so busy, they're not part
of it. Exactly. If it's a chaotic birth where the woman's in danger, which you'd be surprised how many times that happens, and things are not going according to plan, and they're very focused on getting this done. I know someone told me what goes on in labor. You all have children, maybe they don't tell you, but like a doctor told me you can, and they did rounds. A person went to medical school and did rounds. He says the most traumatic round was the few months spent with OBGYN in the delivery room, and the things that I saw there, you wouldn't believe what goes on, the chaos and the trauma that goes on in getting a person into this world. So he once remembers a doctor. It was things were not going the way. He got under the bed, and started pounding on the mattress right below on her back to push the baby from behind, exert pressure in a certain part of her back to push the baby out. I don't know if it worked. He told me this is what he saw. He says it's chaos what goes on in a healthy birth. Everyone should come out, you know, everything should come out, everything is mamish, a miracle.
Obviously it's suffering in that time zone. Doing it early, you got a problem, you decrease the shloim, this mono.
Right, exactly.
So you're much better off
pushing it off. But that you're mevatel a very special mitzvah.
By
Yom HaShmini, right.
We're dealing with
Chil Shabbos,
we're dealing with...
But if the baby is born on Shabbos, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And it should be a very simple thing to make that determination. It's shocking how many times in this modern world that we live in, with all this technology, I don't really know when the baby was born.
If you have a bris at the seventh day, it's not a good bris.
It's not a good bris, exactly. You have to be machmir, exactly. So because many, many times there's a suffix, it's day seven, and maybe it's day eight, and then it's Chil Shabbos, and this and this and this, all these different issues. So it won't be on the eighth day, it'll be on the ninth day. You always go and you do it in such a way where you have no doubt, either it's going to be day eight or day nine, and if it's a Sadduk of Shabbos comes around, so push it to the next day already. Push it to the next day. Okay, but you know, if it can be determined exactly when the baby's head came into this world, then the questions wouldn't be so complicated. The problem is there are many brisim that are done today is because, unfortunately, they can't even determine when the baby was born with precision, when the exact moment the baby came into this world. Maybe you'll tell me it's good like that. Maybe Yitaka should look the other way, because some of these questions there's really no resolution to really answer this question. This is one of the most difficult questions of halacha. Is if a baby is born in a certain period, let's say in between 25 minutes And 50 minutes, many poskim don't want to paskin. A baby was born, a baby today in New York, New Jersey, Lakewood, New Jersey, okay? Somewhere in America, a baby is born somewhere between, after 50 minutes, it appears to my limited knowledge that most poskim are very comfortable in telling the person, the bris is on Shabbos. Really? I never, my whole life, did malacha before 60 minutes. There's a whole generation today. There are thousands of people today in Lakewood, never ever, Baruch Hashem, did malacha their life before 60 minutes after sunset. Never. They grew from the crib in families where they observed 60 minutes Tzei Sakai Chavim.
That would make you listen to your advice.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm telling you, those people, you'll go to a Pesach and they'll be very comfortable to say exactly what you said. I don't care you never did malacha before. The halach is 50 minutes is vadai Tzei Sakai Chavim. The bris mila will be done next Shabbos. Let's say you come to the rabbi and say the baby was born 40 minutes after sunset. Go ask another rabbi. Go ask another rabbi. I don't know what to answer you.
And the question also has to be, are you sure that that was the time of birth? Not when the baby...
Didn't I say that? I said.
You never know that.
The first question... I said that was my hakdama to this. My first question was, when you come, go to the rabbi, don't trust anything. When the person says the baby was born this number of minutes, the first question is, really? How do you know? How do you know that? How do you know the baby was born 40 minutes after sunset? Prove it to me. Oh, it says on the chart. Oh, the chart. Who is the nurse?
It's a step further than that. When they're calling birth is 4 or 5
exactly.
Minutes,
what do they call when the toes come out? When the toes come out, when the head comes out, how do they define birth? Exactly. So the first thing is, you have to have a mashkiach sitting there with a watch, waiting for the head to come out, and a watch like Tkiya Shofar, knowing exactly. Okay, let's put, as I told you, the first thing is, you have to determine with authenticity the precise moment when the head came out. Not what it says on the chart. Don't trust anyone, know nothing, to know bidyuk when the head came out. Husbands, no one, man is not going to watch this. Even a woman's not. So how do you know what's really going on? You don't know what's really going on. Hear the baby cry? You know, it's not mukhruch. The baby, some babies don't cry when they come out. It's not mukhruch. Nothing. You have to know with precision the moment of birth. Let us, for the moment, put that aside. Even if you know with precision, now you have to know what in halacha we need now. No nonsense, no chumis. We need now to know with precision. We need now to know, no chumis here. When is Shabbos begin? When is Shabbos over? Okay, so we're going to cut to the middle of this topic of conversation. We're going to go to the sheet of the machlokes between the Gro and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, we're not going to go into all the details because then maybe that'll do that tomorrow. But right now, there's a machlokes, the Gro and Rabbeinu Tam. The Gro says, the Vilna Gaon says that three quarters. It's really it's a Gemara. It's Shmuel. Shmuel says 3/4 of a mil. Mm. 3/4 of a mil. After sunset, Shabbat is evening. Rabbeinu Tam says 4 mil. All boils down to a machlekes to Gro, and we call and just for the sake of simplicity, Rabbeinu Tam. It all comes down to that. Is it? And what are the reasons along this? Another time. We're out of time very quickly here, so I want to just go cut to the chase. They did not have. That's all part of this topic of conversation we're going to discuss right now. I don't want to discuss that right now. I just want to discuss this yisoid. It's the sunset, and there's either three quarters of a mil after sunset, the day begins. Rabbeinu Tam says, when does the day begin? The night begin? It begins 4 mil. Now, what is a mil? How long is a mil? A mil is a distance. It is a distance which is approximately, no one really knows exactly, approximately 3/4 of a mile, for sake of simplicity. How long does it take you to walk 3/4 of a mile? I know, I checked that personally on Google Maps. I calculated on Google Maps from where I live at home. I walk every day, Baruch Hashem, to Chaim Berlin from my home, to Daven Shachris. I've been doing this, Baruch Hashem, for centuries. Halavai weiter. Okay, Baruch Hashem, B'liayin Hara. And I mapped this out. I wouldn't dare go by car because, number one, I need the exercise. Number two, it is impossible to find a parking space. Okay, so forget about that. So, but it takes, so I mapped it on Google Maps. It is exactly, yeah, the big basement, it's called, it is exactly 1 mile from where I live at home. Hashkocha Pratis is exactly 1 mile from where I live to Chaim Berlin, to the front door of the Chaim Berlin Beis Medrash. And it takes me, came out exactly 18 minutes. 18 minutes. Now that way, I have to make a calculation. It's a mile. So something doesn't work. Something doesn't make sense. Because a mil is three quarters of a mile. And the amount of time it takes to walk 3/4 of a mile is a machloikis between 18 minutes to 24 minutes. Now, I'm not a fast walker, so something over here doesn't make sense. No, I'm not. Something doesn't make sense. So we have to maybe we can...
Standard is 20 minutes to a mile.
Standard is what?
Walk 20 minutes to a mile for an older person, and for a younger person, 15 minutes.
Okay, it takes me 18 minutes to walk that distance. So maybe I'm making a mistake. Yes. What exactly is a mil? So I'm on mark, right? If it takes me 18 minutes... He's saying you walk very quickly, you walk everywhere, you make it in 20 minutes. Of a young person 15 minutes. Okay, it takes me about 18 minutes. Okay, 18 minutes.
15 minutes, you carry 30 pounds.
Yeah, well, 30 pounds, I'm carrying 30 pounds.
It's
bad. I carry light stuff in there. Okay, so that's not the point. The point over here is a mil, the amount of a mil, 3/4 of a mil, 3/4 of a mil, according to Chazal, 3/4 of a mil, which we assume to be a mil is less. Let's put aside all these. The calculation comes out, it's a different shear, but the calculation comes out between 18 minutes and 24 minutes. The Vilna Gaon holds that a mil is 22 and a half minutes. That's what he holds. That's the amount, 3/4 of a time, 3/4 of a mil, 3/4 of a mil, according to the Vilna Gaon, is. I'm sorry. A full mil is 22 and a half minutes according to the Vilna Gaon. Thus, 3/4 of a mil according to the Vilna Gaon is 16 7/8 of a minute. 16 minutes and 7/8 of a minute. This is the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. His opinion, a full mil is 22 minutes. 3/4 is thus 16 7/8 of a minute. Okay, now, Rabbeinu Tam holds a mil is, we assume it's 18 minutes, which results in four mil is 72 minutes. Okay, working with the assumption that the Rabbeinu Tam holds, it's not 22 and a half, but it's 18. 18 times 4 is 72. 72 minutes until the new day begins. So as a stira, how do you reconcile the stira between Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon? So the common answer that you're going to get off from anyone that will just flow off your lips, any person, is it depends if you live in Eretz Yisrael versus living in the Ukraine or living in Poland or living even in parts of England. You're living in Germany and France. Different. The latitudes, you're higher up along, what is the latitude, the longitude, you're in a different part of the world, you're in a different part of the different part of the world with all understanding the full depth of astronomy, you're in a different part of the world. Everyone knows when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it gets dark very quickly, very quickly. You have to be a bucky in astronomy to understand the difference. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel, Bavel shares the same kemat, the same properties. Babylonia, the same part of the degrees from the equator in latitude in Bavel, ancient Babylon, where the Talmud was written, There, it is, there it is, basically it gets dark very quickly. So when the Vilna Gaon says that the shear is, the shear, now again, what is the shear then according to the Vilna Gaon? According to the Vilna Gaon, it's six, it's basically, let's round it up to almost 17 minutes. 17 minutes after sunset, it is Vadai Laila. It is now night. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Based upon Shmuel, it's 3/4 of a mil. 3/4 of a mil is about 17 minutes. And that's Vadai Laila. Well, if you live in Eretz, that's, what does it mean, Vadai Laila? When you can see 3 medium stars. We're going to get to all of your questions in a moment. Let's hold off for 1 second. You can see 3 medium stars. Rabbeinu Tam lived, where did Rabbeinu Tam live? He lived in Germany? He lived in France? So there, that's a different longitude. And there you can't, latitude. You cannot see 3 medium stars until, he was very machmir, until 72 minutes after sunset.
It also depends on the summer omen.
It depends on a lot of things. A lot. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. We just want to talk in generalities because going into too much detail, I'm going to get all mixed up. Just talk about general. I want to just bring out some general ideas that is to me jumps off the page of the Sefer. I find it to be very controversial, the entire approach of what it says in the Sefer. I'm going to read you some incredible things. It's an incredible Sefer. I want to tell you a lot of things. We'll just get to the core of what I want to touch upon. So we have a stira between Machlekes Apoiskim, between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra. Rabbeinu Tam learns it's Vadai Laila when it's basically 17 minutes after sunset. Rabbeinu Tam says it's Vadai Laila when it's 72 minutes after sunset. If you ask the average person, they'll explain to you the difference between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra. Is the Gra is referring to Eretz Yisrael and to Bavel. They have a different, much lower latitude. And therefore, the sun sets very quickly when you're in that part of the world relative to you. For where you're standing, and you can see 3 medium stars after 17 minutes. Whereas, Rabbeinu Tam lived in France, after 72, you're not going to see 3 medium stars until 22 minutes pass. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zech Tzadik Livracha, in America said that if in America we live in our latitude is not like Eretz Yisrael, and it's not like France and Germany, not like Europe, in New York, we live in a different, our latitude is neither of the two. So for us, once you've reached, it's not so clear exactly when you can see 3 medium stars, but once you have reached 50 minutes after sunset, you can be certain that the Zman of seeing 3 medium stars has already passed, and you can do Malacha. This is Rav Moshe Feinstein. In America, we have the Gra, 17 minutes. We have, which is something you can say in Eretz Yisrael. We have Rabbeinu Tam, that is in, I'm assuming, France. Is that really true? Rabbeinu Tam was in France?
But the Gra never was in Eretz Yisrael.
The Gra
was never in Eretz Yisrael.
Einochinami, you're right. Vilna doesn't matter. This is what the Gra said. You're asking good questions I don't have an answer to. This is what I'm reading for the book. You're right, but this is...
Let's,
17 minutes, 17 minutes... This guy, the Gra never said Eretz Yisrael. You're right, Mayor. The Gra never ever said the word Eretz Yisrael. The Gra said 3/4 of a mil. So how could that possibly be 3/4 of a mil? The sun is still shining, Kamat.
What the thought process, the difference between the Zman and the way I was taught was that there's a difference when the sun sets, so you no longer see the sun.
Okay, degrees. I'm coming to that. I'm coming. Okay, we're going to come to all this. Okay, we're going to come. Correct. Okay, but let's just talk what the average person in the street says. I'm trying to get to the controversy. The average, the Gra, Yerai Meir, never said Eretz Yisrael. The Gra says Vadai Laila is 17 minutes after sunset. Period. 3/4 of a mil. A mil is 22 and a half minutes. 3/4 of that is about 17 minutes. Vizehu, you're done. The Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't know. I look in the sky. I don't see 3 medium stars. We're going to wait for 4 mil. 4 mil is 72 minutes. Okay, ask the average person how to reconcile... Ask the average person to reconcile the Gra, and Rabbeinu Tam. The average person in the street, like me, who knows from nothing, okay, doesn't even know where it's east and where it's west. Here, Rabbi Yisai, please, everything you're saying is correct. Let's just get to the point. I'm going to put it in your sight. The average person like me who knows from nothing, I won't say people are so ignorant as me, but someone like me who knows from nothing will tell you the way we're going to reconcile the Gra, 16 minutes and 72 minutes is 17 minutes is Eretz Yisrael, the blind is leading the blind, Rabbi Mayevsky. Yes, okay. 17 minutes after sunset. It's after sun. It's no joke. 17 minutes after sunset is Eretz Yisrael. Ezra Fried is here, and he will attest that in Eretz Yisrael it gets dark very quickly. Once I'm giving the shir, he was sitting on his porch. I was watching. 1, 2, 3. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam is describing the latitude of France and Germany and Poland, 72 minutes. Rav Moshe Feinstein, based upon that approach, that we're going to check out, go outside and see what it looks like in the sky. So if you live in New York City, it gets dark somewhere in between of Eretz Yisrael and in France. So therefore, after 50 minutes, for sure, Rav Moshe doesn't tell you when three stars come out. Who knows when three stars come out? But for sure, if you've already are holding at 50 minutes after sunset, you've already passed. You've already passed this man when three medium stars can appear in the sky. Okay, that's the end of the conversation for someone like me. Now along comes this person. This person wrote this sefer. This person is obviously a genius. I have no idea who he is. His name is Rabbi Aaron Notis. Aaron Notis. About the author. Let me say my piece. About the author. Okay, Rabbi Aaron, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. Notice the Talmud of Tells Yeshiva in Cleveland, Brisk Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and Beis Medrash Govoah of Lakewood. He has received smich in both the Yeridea and Choshen Mishpat. He is a Marbitz Torah for many years, both as a Rebbe and a Rosh Cholel. Currently, he works as a researcher for Art Scroll Publications. They didn't publish his book, by the way. They didn't want to publish his book, obviously. Okay, he is an author of Chikrei Aaron on Sugyas and Halacha. He's a genius, put it like this. He's obviously a genius. He has a phenomenal grasp of astronomy. It's very obvious from the Sefer, and he has very, I'm telling you all these things for a reason over here, And he has some very, very impressive haskamos. Okay, he has some very impressive haskamos from Rav Shlomo Miller. Rav Shlomo Miller is one of the Gedolei Hadar today,
Toronto.
He is an incredible poisek. He's from the biggest poisek of our generation. And he's also a boki muflog in the sugi of Zemanim. He's also an expert in astrology. What is this? Astronomy. What am I saying? It shows my ignorance in this topic. Okay, astronomy. And he has over here a very interesting... He has from Aaron Lapiansky. Okay, for whatever reason. And he has over here a very interesting haskama from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, everyone knows, is a baki muflog in astronomy. Very big baki. It's one of his favorite topics. You ever go to his shiurim? He can talk about this forever. He wrote a book, Pathway to the Prophets. He has some unbelievable stuff. He loves this stuff. And he loves to make litzanis of people like me who are thoroughly ignorant in this. It's very sad that Rabelsky is not alive to read this book. I would love to hear what Rabelsky says about this book. Because this book, in my opinion, in my worthless opinion, is very controversial. Especially when it gets to the end. Now, what do I mean like that? Rabbi Reisman also, at the very end of his haskama, he wrote a very long haskama. And then at the very end of the Haskama, he seems to basically disagree with basically everything that he writes at the end of the book. He doesn't say, I disagree, but if you read what is he talking about and you read the chapter again, it seems like he's basically, so this book is awesome, but you gotta read. Listen, of course you can disagree. That's exactly what he published it. Exactly. Who's coming out to disagree? Hold off. Why do you think everyone's so narrow-minded? This person is not a narrow-minded person. He's willing to take on some pretty big heavyweights. And that's what's very surprising to me. He takes on some big heavyweights in a very open way, in a very open attack. And what he basically the whole gist of this sefer is that many of the gedolim of the previous generations, his claim is, were just not knowledgeable, I don't want to say stronger terms, in astronomy. They just didn't know the basics. They did not know
So what's wrong with that?
He did not know the heliocentric principle of this world. That wait a second, there are important things. They did not know that the Earth rotates around the Sun. They did not have the technology, the know-how. They didn't know basic elementary principles that are available today to anyone who wants to study these matters. Anyone, even a person that's a weak-minded person like me, who just wants to become familiar with basic principles and spend a few hours learning some of the basic yesoides. You go on YouTube, you can watch some videos, the average person or the below average person can gain knowledge in a matter of a few hours more so than the greatest Gedolei Yisrael had available to them a few hundred years, even 200 years ago. 300 years ago for sure. And we're dealing with things that are so basic. Is the earth flat? Is the earth flat or is the earth round? Is the rotation of the sun, the rotation of the earth around the sun, the moon around the earth, all the planets, basic yesoides. If you don't know the basic yesoides, you are going to end up making major mistakes in halacha, in psak halacha, relating to at least this topic of tzei sakoi chavim. And a lot of the entire thrust of the sefer, I want to tell you some, the incredible golden nuggets all over this place in the sefer that come out. But the whole thrust of this sefer is on the premise, you have to know the mitzius. You must know the mitzius. Before you issue a statement on when it says sakai chavim, you have to clearly know what the mitzius is. If you don't know what the mitzius is, then everything that you say in Paskin is suspect. And when we'll show you what the real mitzius is, you're going to have to retract your halacha and change and upgrade, reevaluate, and give a new decision. Let me say my piece. The whole sefer, I'm telling you now, from beginning to end, is built, and he says it again and again, you must know the mitzius. The gedolei hador from the previous generations were kedoshim utohoidim kizoyra harakia masidim. They had ruach hakodesh. They were spiritual giants beyond our wildest belief, but the facts are, from what they wrote and what they have handed down to us, they did not know the reality of this world. And therefore, I'm telling you, this is what it says in this book, unless I'm reading it wrong, they were wrong. They were wrong in how they understood the Mitzvahs and their conclusions in making decisions of Zaman, matters of relating to Zaman, have to be basically dismissed, and we have to reevaluate and reach our own conclusions today. What is really called tzei sakai chavim? It is shocking how openly he says this, and how openly he's willing to dismiss the greatest gedolim for the last hundreds of years in how they came up with their zmanim, by dismissing and saying they were all mistaken because they did not know the mitzvahs. So he basically argues with Rav Moshe. That's what he ends up doing over here, pretty clearly. He basically dismisses Rav Moshe, which to me is very painful and very disturbing. Let me say my piece.
In Lawrence, there's a different time.
The difference between Lawrence and Muncie is so small. You're dealing with seconds. You're dealing with seconds. All right, minutes. Okay, Okay, we don't even need to get into minutes. We need to get into like a half an hour. That's all. Now, Rabbi Sai, please let me say. Okay, the only one that's his hero in this sefer, the only one person that's his hero, and that's the Gra. The Vilna Gaon is his hero. He worships the Vilna Gaon. He's the only one that got it right. He's the only one that understood what's really going on in this world. Now, again, the whole premise is you cannot paskin, issue a psak halacha unless mitzias, the gedolim did not have mitzias in their hand. Some of them were totally off. Some of them, even not so long ago, they were talking about the heliocentric principle, Copernicus. And he said that Copernicus.
Copernicus,
how much I know, Copernicus. Copernicus, he writes, one of the gedolim is Sheker Gomor. One of the Gedolei Yisrael, when this theory came, was revealed to the world of the heliocentric principle that the earth rotates around the sun, one of the Gedolei Yisrael in his Tshuvos writes that this idea is Sheker Gomor. So, right away, how could you rely upon this person who was accepted from the Gedolei Yisrael at that time, going back whatever number of years it was? How can you take anything he says seriously? How can you accept what if he writes in his writings describing his knowledge of astronomy with in writing that this, to reject this principle, Sheker Gomor, and he's obviously, his chidushim are Sheker, he's suspect. Everything that he ever said has to be completely dismissed. He's very open about that over here in the Sefer. Now, it's a little bit alarming how open he is. Because okay, you know, there's a way to say things. There's one person I want to mention his name that Rabbi Belsky said about him that every single thing that he said is MS. He got in trouble because he didn't say it in an edel way. You have to be very careful how you are megale fraud.
You can't say checker, you can say toss.
Oh, exactly. Okay. So you hit the nail on the head. You want to go say someone made him, you say he made a mistake. You want to say what he said is sheker. There's a different way to. His language in this sefer to me is a little bit disturbing because it's pretty blunt. Pretty blunt. I'm surprised that he got haskamas. He's a researcher for Archgold. I have no doubt that he's a Talmud Chacham beyond my wildest imagination, and I bow before him. Okay, but it's a very open sefer. Open sefer, how he talks. Now, there are two things I want to point out. I want to tell you some of the things that he says. That's going to get to. But I want to just tell you, just in my very limited understanding of anything in this world, I just want to present you one very simple thing. Once you accept, you work with this yesoid, that halacha follows the world of reality, you basically have destroyed the kashrus industry. Let me explain to you that bold statement. There's a very, very famous Chazon Ish. It says in the Mishnah, Masechta Chulin, there are 18 different things which make an animal into a treifa. Now, there's a machlekes about it. What does it mean, a treifa? There's a very big machlekes. One of two opinions is that a treifa means an animal has a defect, which means it will not live for 1 year. Not everyone agrees to that principle. But there's a defect in the animal such that it is a get. Chazal have made a statement, if an animal has one of these 18 defects, this animal will not live for a year. And therefore, the Torah said, treifa, don't eat treifa. The definition of a treifa means an animal that's on its way out because it has a defect which cannot physically survive in this world that Hashem made for a year. That's one opinion, by the way. The Rambam expands the 18 of the Mishnah to 70. 70. Now, one of the major defects is a hole in a lung. A sircha. If there is some type of adhesion on the lung of an animal, that means that once upon a time, or inside of that adhesion, there is a hole in the lung. And a hole in the lung means that the cow, or whatever fancy name they want to call it, this genetically modified creature, is going to die within a year. Now, scientifically, it has been proven again and again, no such thing. An animal, a cow today, that has a hole in the lung, has a life expectancy exactly like any animal that's glat kosher, beis yosef glat. There's no difference in the life expectancy of a cow that has a sircha and a cow that does not have a sircha. No such thing. And the same is true for almost all of the other 18 treifos listed in the Mishnah and all of the expansion of the Rambam's 70 more treifos. So today you pay a lot of money today for meat that is glat kosher, and Sfaradim pay even more money for beis yosef glat, and all based upon a principle, and we do bedikas, so it should not be a treifa. Now there are answers to this question, but there's an answer from the Chazon Ish. And in essence, the way I understood this, and the way I think people understand this, the Chazon Ish has an incredible yesod which has many applications in the world of halacha. I'll tell you my vart on what this, to summarize, a twist. You have a print, Torah lav bashamayim hi. What does that mean? If a bascule comes out and says, no, that's not what I mean. I'm telling you a drush. The first thing that Hashem created is the shamayim. Torah laba shamayim. Torah psak halacha does not depend on the world of reality. Does not depend on mitzius. The reason why an animal is a treifa is because it's not going to live for a year. The Chazon Ish says that may have been true at the time of Har Sinai. But you know this evolution. Animals in the 3,000 since Matan Torah, it's been 3,334 years exactly. And during that period of time, animals and humans have evolved. And they have overcome, they have genetically remodified themselves to overcome issues that would ordinarily take their lives. So today, an animal has a sircha, it's going to have a life expectancy no different than an animal that's beis yosef glat. Ah, so why then does it cost so much more? Why is this kosher, this not kosher? Because at the time of Matan Torah, an animal that had a hole in its lung would die within a year. Today it's no longer true. The mitzius is no longer true. The mitzius is not true anymore. In the world of reality, it's not true. And there are many other examples like this. Guess what? Whoever told you halacha follows mitzius, reality? Halacha has its own set of rules that has nothing to do with the world of reality. And many times, the world of reality and halacha is in direct conflict with one another. Even though you'll say, but halacha is here to deal with the real world. Yes and no. It's a very, very complicated interaction between the mitzius and halacha. How halacha intersects. You have a new issue in this world. Something new comes up. The first thing you're going to do is mitzius. The person met electricity. You invent electricity. Ah, electricity. We never had electricity before. How do we deal with it in halacha? Well, know the mitzius. Know what the mitzius is. You have a robot. A robot that wants to vacuum your home for you on Shabbos. Robots walking around, going around the house. We never had this before. Well, you have to know what the mitzvah is. Absolutely. Something new that comes around, obviously the poskim, the first thing they're going to want to discover, understand, is going to be, let's know the mitzvah. But matters that are old, you don't find poskim looking to reevaluate the mitzvah. Because halacha has a tendency to veer off the path of the mitzvahs. This whole book, and I want to show you some fascinating things, I'm running out of time, deals with basically proving that in New York City, you know when Shabbos is over, Mr. Marillis, you're going to fall off your chair here. You know when Shabbos is over in New York City, la halacha, in the world of reality?
34.
No way, way too late. Basically between 22 and 24 minutes. Okay, after the latest possible zman for there to be in New York City, in Brooklyn, New York, for Shabbos to be over, Lakewood, New Jersey, between 18 and a half minutes and 22 and a half minutes.
It's time to hold 20 minutes,
I mean. Pretty good, so they're on the mark. He doesn't even write over here in New York. You see, we've reached the Madrega, Rabbi Isai, where we're not even worthy of being mentioned in his book. He only cites Lakewood, New Jersey. In Lakewood, New Jersey, he claims That's March 20th. March 20th is the equinox, is the spring equinox, correct? I think the spring equinox. Shabbos is over at 18 and a half minutes after sunset. Three medium stars will appear in the sky 18 and a half minutes after sunset in Lakewood, New Jersey. And on the latest possible time is on June 21st. June 21st, the peak of the longest day of the year, the solstice is the summer, is 22 and a half minutes. So how come in Lakewood they're all waiting 72 minutes? Because they don't know the Metzius.
They don't want to go to work.
They don't know astronomy. They're thoroughly ignorant in astronomy. They don't know the Metzius. If you don't know the Metzius, and we have to discuss all the explain how this works. It's not so complicated to prove without a shadow of a doubt that he's right. Mamash, I never saw someone write something with such conviction.
But
how he writes. So that is my bewilderment when I read this Sefer. I read this Sefer. He over and over expresses, you have to know the Metzius. The Metzius. The Metzius. The reality. We are blessed in our generation. We know the reality. And we do. No one's defined. We do. The Gedolei Yisrael, the greatest Gedolei Yisrael, going back even 200 years ago, even 100 years ago, even today there are people that make decisions. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the Metzius. You can't make a halachic decision if you don't know what the Metzius is. And the people before us who made these decisions did not have the advantage of knowing today the Metzius. So they were mistaken. Mistaken. And they were wrong. Amimela, today he has mamish conviction that the latest zman for Tzeis HaKoychavim, you can go to Lakewood on March 20th, and after sunset, look in the sky, and after 18 and a half minutes, you will see three medium stars. Now, I want to explain what that means. I'll explain to you. Yes. I can explain to you. No one knows what they're looking for. I'll explain to you that in a moment. Hold off one second. Wait. Let me explain. He explained this in a very beautiful way in a few months. Okay. So, my issue with this is, I have an issue reading this Sefer. I told you, he comes here now, I'll bow down before him. He's an incredible Talmud Chacham, incredible Koyach, he knows how to write, he knows how to explain. He has tremendous respect for Talmidei Chacham. Don't get me wrong, I say, I don't chas v'shalom say anything not to be nizer in his covenant, the covenant of the... But I want to tell you that in this Sefer, he is presenting an argument, is that you cannot Paskinei halacha, unless you know the Metzius. Time, zmanim, goes back to Matan Torah. Jews have traveled throughout the world, and it's a very complicated issue. There have been many poskei hadar dealing with many issues, and these issues are not just chumras. We're dealing with doing melacha Friday night. People used to do melacha Friday night until 72 minutes. There are people out there, no, you're not going to find this today, but there are people that would do milocha, they would work Friday night, even up to 72 minutes after sunset. Could you imagine Friday night? It's now 70 minutes after sunset, you're on the phone. You're making a telephone call. One more telephone call. One more, put up the chalant, put up the fire. Okay, no one's going to do that today, but people did that. There were Gedolei Yisrael that did this, and they made this halakhic decisions, and he is saying that you cannot make these, that these decisions were made based on a mistake in knowing the world of reality. That's what he says 1,000 times in this book, and my question, and I think Rabbi Reisman really, to a small degree, alludes to this in a different way in the beginning of the book, is, excuse me, You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct that we don't know what the reality is. But halacha does not necessarily follow the reality. When yes, when no, that's a really tough question. There's no doubt about it that the ideal thing would be to follow the reality, but there are situations where things go off course. Like I gave you an example with kashrus. And that's not the, there are other examples. Things go off course where halacha has a life to itself.
See, but that's different. By the kashrus, the reality changed. Where there was an evolution. Zmanim, sunrise, sunset, says.
I fully appreciate what you say, but I think that I'm not fluent enough to give you more examples of this. There are many examples of this type of concept, is where halacha does not follow reality. Look. Okay, there, I don't want to go and get sorry. Think about this. Principle. What? There are many situations in the world of Torah. This is a topic in and of itself. Does the world of halacha follow reality, or does it happen sometimes that although maybe it originated in the world of reality, but it takes on a life of its own where at a certain point in time later, it veers off the track, the parallel to reality, and takes on a life of itself. If that principle, if you can prove it's true, which I'm not saying it is true, but if you can prove that such a reality, such a concept is true, then the whole book falls away. This whole book goes out the window. Because you're going to scientifically prove to me beyond the shadow of a doubt, you can't argue with what he says. What he says is so solid. It is so potent. You can't argue. That's right. You know when you can see three medium stars in Lakewood, New Jersey on March 20th? 18 and a half minutes. Anyone that's waiting more than 18 and a half minutes is the same. He writes, that type of person basically thinks the world is still flat.
It's not a matter of evolution. It's a matter of
basically. I'm being very nasty over here, but a person that's not willing to do malacha after 18 and a half minutes in Lakewood on March 20th, this guy thinks the world is flat. This guy, this same type of thinking, is the thinking that the world is flat. The world is flat. If you believe the world is flat, then you'll hold 72 minutes. If you know the world is round, and the earth goes around the sun, and the moon goes around, then you'll know that you can do malacha after 18 and a half minutes. Now, l'may naskamina, I want to be machmir, I'm scared. Okay, but let's say a baby is born Friday night, 18, they're watching me with a clock, like Tkia Shofar. And when's the head going to come out already? No, the head came out on my clock, 18 minutes and 31 seconds. Bris Mila is going to be next Shabbos, next week on Shabbos. Today, I don't think there's even one Pesach in the world that will tell you if the baby is born 18 on March 20th, 18 minutes and 31 seconds, then you can have a Bris next Shabbos. No one will tell you that today. They'll tell you to wait until Sunday. No one's going to, according to him, Yigimamish, if you don't have a Bris next Shabbos at 18 minutes, and next Shabbos, on Shabbos, you are from the category of people who believe that the world is flat. You want to go into that category? What?
A Pesach has the power to overturn him.
Well, what right is a Pesach? It's a Metzius. Metzius. He is.
He's Metzius. But a Pesach.
So why? So the Pesach should learn the Metzius, and the Pesach should paskin at 18 and a half. So why don't they? So what? You don't think the Pesach can know what he says? There are some brilliant. Right, Belsky didn't know all this. He knew this better than him. So how come the Pesach can talk? How come no one of Moshe didn't know this? Moshe knew. How come? He doesn't touch. Whoever told you that halacha has to follow the world of reality?
It doesn't.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Who says? There's a whole dimension.
You gotta give a psak that will be it does accepted, because that will work. Even though
a person that does, it's not that will work. Will a person be chayef misa? A person. There are witnesses. Halacha goes into a different realm. What I'm saying is not mukhruch. He certainly doesn't totally disagrees with me. I'm not a bar hochi to disagree with him. I'm just trying to point out this incredible chiddush to me in this book. Is the whole book mitzius, memela, everyone is wrong, and let's get back, whip ourselves back, the klal yisrael to change and get back into shape and follow, be normal. what about all the Gedolei Yisrael that didn't do this for all these generations? So they were taka ignorant. They taka were in many cases. They really were 90% taka knew from nothing, either because the science was not yet available, or even if today where the science is available, no, they're not willing to spend the time to master this knowledge, to come to realization that they don't know what they're talking about. Wait a minute. Whoever said that the world of halacha has to follow the world of reality? L'chatchila, we want it to be. We assume that it does, and many times that's the way it starts. But over time, due to different issues, it takes on a life of itself, and that changes everything. Okay, now let me explain to you the reality for a few moments. Okay, hold off for 1 second. If you go now to Eretz, what are the Gros? Just explain to you how he gets this. It's very, very, very fascinating. We have Mincha Mincha here?
No, we have
it. Okay, so please, everyone can stay, but now we have 5 minutes, 12, 3 minutes. Okay, very quickly. This is incredibly fascinating. Incredibly fascinating.
Can you
sense. Yes, we'll look at it tomorrow. But I want to get over this point over here. Let's get this point over here. What does the Gros say? This is a beautiful thing what he says now. The Gros says that when can you see three medium stars? After, according to his calculation, the Gros, after, let's round it up, 17 minutes. 17 minutes. So he says, really? 70? Go in Brooklyn, 70? You don't see nothing after 17 minutes. No way. Nothing. You don't see nothing after 17 minutes, right? Nothing after the middle of the night. You don't see nothing. Okay. So the answer is, I told you in the beginning of the share, someone ignorant like me, you go, he means in Eretz Yisrael. We go, yes, Ezra, there, the sun sets, bang, one, two, three, it goes down. Guess what? Many people already 200 years ago went and they looked in the sky in Eretz Yisrael, and guess what? They didn't see nothing either. You can see three medium stars in Eretz Yisrael between 20, depending on time of the year, the time of the year and certain conditions, between 22 and 28 minutes. They were Gedolei Yisrael who spent an enormous amount of time experimenting to go see when you can see stars. This goes back even 200 years ago. Let me turn to the page. Stars. And they came to the conclusion, so what's the Gros say? No one understood the Gros. And they have multiple accounts. Between 22, he writes over, the first one to do this was the person by the name of the Divrei Yosef, Rav Yosef Schwartz. He was a Talmud of Nassim Adler. Time of the Chassam Sofer. He emigrated to Eretz Yisrael. He did this in 1833. He did this experiment. And he came to the conclusion that you can't see nothing. It's between 22 and 20. So what does the Gros mean 17 minutes? Rav Yechiel Michal Tuchotinsky. The same exact thing. He was also a scientist. He did the same experiments. And he also came to the conclusion you cannot see three medium stars in Eretz Yisrael until 22 and 28 minutes. So Eretz Yisrael, it's very common, they wait 25 minutes. So he says 20, something like 30 minutes, okay, different mind. No one waits 50 minutes there. You wait by 30 minutes, you're done. Okay, 30 minutes, you're done. Exactly. So, but he says it's between 22 and 28. Yeah, I don't know, what is the girl talking about 17 minutes? Along, Rav Yechiel Michal Tuchotinsky, he came to Eretz Yisrael in 1882. Okay, next, even Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, Zalman Meltzer also seems to be a scientist. I didn't know that. He was the father-in-law of Aaron Cutler.
Father-in-law
of Aaron Cutler. He takes this very seriously. And he quotes Rav David Baharan. And he said this the first time someone said this Chiddush. And he said, it's a Chiddush to say this, is that our eyes are not what they used to be.
Right.
That's a chiddush to say that. It's a chiddush to say that our eyesight today, we're not dealing with people of 2020. And he said the average person, their eyesight is not the same eyesight at the time of the Gros.
Right. How many of them wore glasses in those days?
Okay, maybe they couldn't see. They just didn't have glasses, so you squint around the whole day. You know? They lived much smaller. They didn't have big earports. Okay, whatever it is. He says that's a tremendous chiddush to say. Now, as you go further, today everyone's going to tell you there is pollution, which affects our ability to see. Ozone. Today they're going to tell you that all of our eyes are damaged from artificial lighting. Okay? We don't realize, we think, oh, what could be? We have lights the whole day. is it true? Is it not true? Who knows? Now, along came, this really is gold, the next thing. Now, obviously, there is some truth to everything. Our eyes are not what they used to be. Our eyes are damaged due to artificial lighting, and they did studies with people that live in places that don't have artificial lighting. People live in, you know, these nomads and these Bedouins in the place, and they tackle fine. They have better eyesight than us. Their eyes have not been damaged by artificial lighting. But this is really the Ikar Yesoid, and this is a beautiful Yesoid. There's a professor Yehuda Levi, and he said very, very posh. He says, the Chazal are referring to people who know what they're looking for. When it says, the Gross says 6-17 minutes, he's not referring to Stama guy. He's looking in the sky to find. There are people, he writes here, who can't even identify Venus when it's shining during the day. I don't know what he's talking about. When it says 17 minutes, we're dealing with, number one, a person that has excellent eyesight. There's no pollution. There's no electric lights in the sky. No one's damaged. And you're a Boki Mumche in astronomy. Mm-hmm. You have to have a PhD in astronomy. You have to know, if you know what you're looking for, I'm waiting to see it. If you know what you're looking for, guess what? You can see it even after 15 minutes. And he proves this. And he basically says, 17 minutes, he goes, all different people, we're dealing with mumchim, who know, and the Gro was brilliant. The Gro was on the mark like you cannot imagine. You go through the entire year, the average time when a person who is a mumche that, and who knows what they're looking for, can identify three medium stars, is 17 minutes. It's exactly 17 minutes, and that's why, and this is a Mordecai Pshat. Where does it come from? Shmuel. I'm a Baki in the Shvili Dina Hard. I'm Baki in the Shvili Dirikia, in the streets of Naharda. What does it mean? Shmuel, I'm a Baki in the stars. I know the same way I know my neighbor, I know the stars. If you know what you're looking for, you can taka see three medium stars at exactly 17 minutes. Now, he goes on, half the book is tomorrow, is to show what degree, now that we know modern astronomy, how many degrees below the Earth is the sun when after 17 minutes? It's approximately 4.5 degrees. So the Mela in New York City, in Lakewood, when the sun gets the same number of degrees below the horizon, it's between 18 and 22 minutes. That's when a Bucky Muffalo can see in the sky three medium stars, and that's Vaday Laila, and everyone else is wrong. You repeat this.